We're doing the Chazonish, Emunah u'Bitachon. We had started the fourth section of the fourth chapter yesterday, and the Chazonish had developed the idea that all good traits boil down to one idea. Are my values going to override my desires? And then the Chazonish said that he thinks that that's what the discussion was about in the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his disciples, what's the correct path for a man to go on? So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said, Lev Tov, a good heart. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, his words encompass everyone else's words. And the Chazanish said that the discussion had been on what tools do you use to attain a good heart? And that's why the other rabbis didn't choose what Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said, a good heart, because they felt that was the goal, that was not the tools, that was not the path. Ve'omnam, we're continuing, bottom paragraph. Ve'omnam liot chalifot rabot becholyei ha'nefesh kefi chalifat ha'tiviyut shekol ish ve'ish, being that every person has a different nature, and no two people are the same, and so no two people have the same challenges in personality development. Nitan chalifot b'lev ha'chachamim v'histagluyot miyuchadot lekol echad. And so we find that different sages gave us different tools to develop ourselves, because different sages had themselves acquired different tools. U'birvot ha'mezorot v'hitalut totzeret ha'chachamim ha'shonim kefi midat ha'chochma shel kol echad. And when you're offered different cures, the word mazor literally means a bandage, but it's a general word for cure. When you have all kinds of different cures and the different rabbis produce different tools that a person will use, each one with their wisdom, motze kol echad refuat ta'ale lemeri midotav. So then you have a whole tractate called Pirkei Avot, where each rabbi gives you different tools to use, and when you learn the whole tractate, you discover that every person can find their cure within Pirkei Avot. The rabbis, and over time, developed systems that would help each person, because we all have different challenges, and so different tools work for different people. So when the sages were discussing in that Mishnah, what's the straight path, what's the correct path that a person should choose? Eino diyun al psak din yavesh, lomar le'adam asei kach. They weren't having a dry theoretical discussion, what should I do? So you ask a rabbi, what should I do after I ate the meal? He says, make an after blessing. That's a dry discussion. You ask what to do, I'll tell you what to do. Okay, short question, short answer, got it. But what were they discussing? When they said, what's the straight path? It was not a dry discussion. Ela, rather, leha'amid et ha'choli. Their point was to delineate, to define the illness. Alofyo ha'ne'eman. If one can diagnose correctly, if you can really analyze where the problem stems from, so then v'leha'amid refuata al matkonta ha'ne'emana. Then you can define, you can establish the cure in the proper way. Once you know what the illness is, leha'amid is to make stand, but it means to establish refuata, its cure, al matkonta ha'ne'emana, in the correct, accurate recipe, in the correct formulation. Uminekuda zo, and from this point of view, from this starting point, tzarich ha-chacham la'aroch et torat ha-musar, that's how a wise man arranges the learning of musar, of ethics, of perfecting oneself, letaken mishnata ulesader perakeha ulemosra la'tzibur la'agot ba. When you want to give it over to the public to learn, so you arrange what's the way in which you perfect yourself? How do I analyze how I am supposed to become a better person? Lishnota ulishalshela ad sheyimtzu b'mazor. If you repeat it over and over again, eventually people find the cure. You learn Pirkei Avot again and again and again. Eventually you start realizing, this is where I have to work. I don't know if you guys have had the experience, but I do this lately. I learn the same thing again and again when we're talking about a book on self-improvement. So I'll learn the book numerous times. Hopefully something will sink in. Or Chot Tzadikim. So I learned again and again and again. Because the first time I'm just understanding what he's saying. And to implement it in my own life, well, takes a lot of work. And even if you think you can work on something, you read it again, you suddenly realize there's more to work on. So the same is true with all books of self-development. You study it once, and then if you study it again, you'll be able to develop more. You'll be able to understand better, to apply better. V'chol echad mechachamim ha'elu. And every one of these wise men in the Mishnah, matza bekirbo histaglut lavo le'ezrat b'nei adam b'tikun amidot b'derech acheret. Each one was looking within himself, what's the best way to help people advance? So the Chazon Ish is saying something very radical. He's saying they did a tremendous introspection, and looking inside, they developed what would be correct for people to help develop themselves. Rashi, in the end of Tractate Avo, says something slightly different. Rashi says the reason why different rabbis gave different formulations was because every rabbi analyzed their generation and came up with the formula that was right for their generation. So Rashi says that there aren't really almost any arguments in Pirkei Avot. Everyone agrees you should be humble, you should be kind, you should be modest, you should be a God-fearing person. Everyone agrees that all the traits are good. So why did different rabbis stress different things? Rashi said each rabbi analyzed their audience and developed what they thought their audience had to hear. And Rashi says, and the same holds true for the rabbi who's teaching afterwards, he also has to figure out what his congregation has to hear and stress the points they have to hear. So that's one of the concluding lines in Rashi on Tractate Pirkei Avot. The Chazon Ish is saying something different. He's saying each one developed from within a system that they figured would help people improve themselves. V'chiyevet atzmo, and each of these rabbis obligated themselves lechaber torat ha-musar menkuda zo asher toalto vadayit. Each one was looking for what system can I offer people which will guarantee success. That's why they each came up with a different system. Each one said, work on this, and then everything else will evolve from that. Im lo lekulam, la'alafim v'lerevavot mehem. If it won't work for everyone, it'll at least work for tens of thousands of people. Asher cholyam muchana le'erafe, that their illness, meaning their problems, that their imperfections are going to be cured b'mamarim ele, with these teachings. The yimtzu mazol makatam bahem uv'mishnatam. That's why the rabbis taught these paths, because they said this is what's going to help people get it right. And again, now you have to reanalyze the Mishnah. Okay, what was each rabbi saying? V'chilek Hashem mechochmato li'rea v'chol echad noter chilko. Hashem gave of his wisdom to the different rabbis, the people who are God-fearing people. Uchshama l'talmidav tzu re'u haynu lechaber sefer amidot. What we see is a heading. But what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was actually telling his disciples, I want each one of you to compile a work that people will use as a system for becoming better people. And each one of them developed that title. And what we see in the Mishnah is the heading, the title. But there was much more after that. We discussed earlier the Gra, that the Gra writes there were whole tractates on each trait. We lost them, we don't have them anymore. But the rabbis had developed tractates on how to develop each trait. Okay, we'll finish the final paragraph. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we're on page Mem Zayin, the final paragraph of this section. Matza et atzmo lehistaglut lomar la'adam kene lev tov. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, what he promoted was people should work on having a good heart. Ve'amira zo haynu mesira Torah shlema letzibur. When he said this, he wasn't just saying, have a good heart. He was saying a whole system. The Mishnah encapsulizes it in one sentence. But he gave over a whole system. He gave it and he taught it to the masses. Letikun alev, to fix their hearts. Lehalhiv et alvavot, to arouse people, to excite people. Levakashat or haemet, to seek out the light of truth. Now that's a very important point. Are we excited? What we're excited about, we do. And we do with zeal, and we do to the finish line. We really do it. And one of the key points is to be excited. Very often we can make a decision, and cerebrally it's right. Yes, I understand, and I'm going to do it. And then the first morning I oversleep, and on my way I stop for a coffee break. And when I get there, I check my emails. And you know what it's like when you're not excited over something. You don't really get it done. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said, a good heart, well, he's touched the heart because he wanted people to be excited. That's why he spoke about the heart. They should be excited to seek out truth. La'avat chaye olam. They should be excited about life, and they should love the eternal life that they're tapping into. Ve'la'aniyah chaye sha'ah. And a person has to be willing to forgo the pleasures that are fleeting. And now, very often it's tempting the other way. Now, we're all that way. Our nature is that if we sit down to do work, so right away all the little tasks start bogging us down. Let me just clear my desk. Let me just answer that email. Let me just... We take a bunch of little things that are not so important. Sometimes a person takes a day off and he says, on this day I'll finish filing my taxes. And half the day will go wasted on other things, and he won't do that. He won't file his taxes. He'll have a clear desk. He'll take care of that, going through the batteries and seeing which batteries have to be thrown out, which are the dead batteries, which alarm clock isn't working on, they'll never be resuscitated. He takes care of a whole bunch of little things. Why did he take the day off? We're all that way. We're that way even on mundane things. So part of what the Torah teaches us is to train ourselves to define for ourselves, what's my long-term goal? What am I really trying to accomplish? And that's a question a person has to ask himself on a global level. Where are we going in life? People who ask themselves that question, well, then they end up getting there. Most people don't. They don't get there, but that's because they don't really ask themselves the question. And it's also a question we have to ask ourselves every day. What do I want to accomplish today? How many people started the day and set themselves goals for today? And if you do set yourself goals, then ask yourself at the end of the day, did I accomplish those goals or didn't I? And if I didn't, why didn't I? Because then maybe tomorrow I will. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, when he was telling them, have a good heart, he was telling them, I have a heart that's excited over the right things, over long-term eternal goals. It will involve foregoing certain short-term pleasures. Lageshet el amidah tovah hayichida klalit klilat kol amidot hatovot mibli tzorech lepoka leprakim. To go to that good trait, the single good trait, that will encompass everything. Now, this is a rule in self-development, not only Jewish self-development. In all self-development, every time we make a decision to go for the long-term goal and we forgo the short-term, and we have to do it in life. Very often we're tempted, and every time we make a decision, that's what the Chazon Ish was discussing earlier, we're developing ourselves. And at the end of the day, we feel more real gratification. Every time we forgo the instant gratification and work hard to get that long-term, I'm going to work on the long-term goal, I'm not going to give in. And then we start feeling like we're in control, like our life has meaning. When a person is whimsical, when a person allows the short-term desires to take over, and then he actually spends his time doing things that he shouldn't be doing, things that really will give him nothing in the long run, well, that's when a person starts feeling like life is worthless. The more a person takes control, and every time a person says, I'm not going to make the short term, I'm going to go for the long term. I'm not going to stay up doing stupid things on the internet. Can I ask a stupid question? I know this is going to sound like a really stupid question, but I'm just wondering, you know, why does a person have to have a Facebook account? Or why does a person have to have an email account? So you have to stay in touch with so many people. How many friends does a person have on Facebook? Do I really want to know who woke up this morning and was surprised it wasn't raining? That's so important. I Someone was asking me to set up my website on Facebook, and then I said to him, you know, but we need to have a system where people can find Shiurim from 10 years ago. He said to me, in Facebook, that doesn't exist. Facebook is built with the idea that what you post today will not be there tomorrow. You're going to have a very hard time to find anything old. The whole idea of Facebook is what you post isn't really important. It's just interesting now. But if someone didn't catch your feed today, they're going to have a very hard time finding what you posted a week ago. Because the assumption of Facebook, this is a computer programmer, the assumption is nothing you write is so important. It's just a thought. It's a conversation. It's a social chatterbox. But no one needs to save what you're thinking. So now go search down a person's timeline and figure out where he said something important. So Facebook isn't built for that. You don't really have search engines within Facebook that you could set up if you want to set up a meaningful system where there's meaning and what's there deserves to be saved and viewed again. Ariel, this is a rhetorical question. I know you could argue. Rabbi Yochanan, let's finish the paragraph. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai amar lahem, Ro'e ani tivrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Yochanan concludes the discussion. He says, I see what Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said more than the rest of you. What he was saying, I see. What does that mean? That's Hainu iyun alev be'emek ha-muskalot. He says, when I delve into it, what I understand on the deeper level, v'avanat ha-Torah be'alachot ha-musariyot, shechelko shel Rabbi Yochanan b'zeh haya k'shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'agasha yeshira el tikun halev. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says the Chazon Ish, it's not that their concepts were to the exclusion of the others. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I see what Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, he's saying, I have the same type of heart, that's where I would work. But what the other rabbis developed, their systems for becoming a better person, there was nothing wrong with that. Each one developed where their nature, where their deep insights led them to develop a system for becoming a better person. I often say that there are many paths to the top of the mountain. You can't say, I got to the better top than you got. We both got to the same top of the mountain. So there are many systems. There are systems for understanding why Judaism is right. There are systems for becoming a better person. And different systems will work for different people. And what will resonate with me might not resonate with you. And what will resonate with one guy might not resonate with the other guy. That doesn't mean that one is more correct than the other. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, my system is more similar to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's, but that doesn't mean the other ones are wrong. So that's okay. With that, we finish the fourth section.